All right. And at 7:35 here for the next 45 days, we're going to do our General Assembly checkup, see what's happening at the Capitol here in Richmond. I know a lot of people in this audience have political connections. Some of them work at the Capitol during the General Assembly. So count on that each and every day here on the program. And, you know, it seems only right to bring Jeff Shapiro in. You know, Jeff Shapiro writes that politics column for the Richmond Times-Dispatch. And since... Should I say this, Jeff? Since I was a kid, I feel like I have been walking around. My dad used to point out, oh, there's Jeff Shapiro. He's the writer for the paper. And now here we are talking on the radio. It was 40 years for you?
Practically, John. Okay. Thank you for having me. Happy New Year. And, of course, for the Reeds, politics is a family business. And speaking of tough weather, the figurative equivalent has already descended on the Capitol.
Oh, yeah, it's cold.
We saw a bit of that yesterday, part of the opening proceedings.
Well, let's talk about the State of the Commonwealth Address. When the governor was with me here in the studio yesterday, he said a couple of things, that he was going to have a different tone this year. And then he told me to watch out for an announcement. And then I tried to get him to tell me what it was going to be. And I think I know what it is. But here, what's your assessment of this governor's speech, since you've covered so many of them?
By the way, that announcement was that Microsoft will be expanding its presence in Mecklenburg County.
Right,
that's the sixth expansion by the software giant. It will generate at least 100 jobs. The governor weaving that announcement into his report to the legislature.
It's big news.
Last night. Certainly in rural Virginia, where jobs are increasingly scarce and where recalibrating the economy is a real challenge. As for the governor's speech, there were many high notes. I'm of the view, frankly, that despite those many high notes, and the governor believes there's much about which to crow, he made reference to the Amazon H2Q get, the lowest unemployment rate in 17 years, a strengthening economy, and one consequence of that, of course, this surplus, though depending who you ask, it's far smaller than the governor lets on. But these speeches are often distinguished by what the speakers don't discuss. And remember, this is a legislative election year. The Republican Party is holding on for dear life. The Democrats need only two seats in the House and Senate to restore absolute control of the legislature, but of course, total control of state government. And so this is a session in which the emphasis is on survival. And one important manifestation of that are the bright lines painted on some of these big issues that the governor really didn't talk a great deal about or didn't mention at all last night. He touched on taxation. He believes that as a consequence of the Trump tax cut, the only significant tax modification should be making permanent a tax break for lower-income Virginians. The Republicans, most notably the chairman of the House Appropriations Committee, Chris Jones, are of the view that unless Virginia looks at the full tax picture, that a lot of middle-class and upper-income Virginians are going to be penalized because of these changes. This is going to be a flashpoint early in the session, and it's going to determine just how much, if you will, play money the governor and the legislature have to fund all of these programs, many of which the governor is directing at important elements of the Democratic constituencies coalition. Excuse me, that would include teachers, pay raises for them, school counselors, more of them, a big investment in a cleanup of the Chesapeake Bay, and as well the possibility that the state might contribute to the cleanup of that coal ash that Dominion Energy has been amassing over years.
Well, those are kind of popular.
We didn't hear a word, however, about nonpartisan redistricting.
Right.
Nor was there any mention of an expansion of casino of gambling, specifically casinos and sports betting. So again, what the governor didn't say may be the bigger headline.
Did he get into his guns proposal and the voter ID and all of that?
He did mention guns. He has been pretty firm on gun control. Gun safety is the preferred term of, right. Among Democrats. And he has also made clear that he thinks there can be an informed conversation on that. But it's a bright line issue. Democrats, for the most part, are strong for gun control. Republicans, for the most part, strongly against gun control.
Yeah. And then it surprised me, maybe it didn't surprise you since you talk to these guys all the time, the marijuana proposal. That's not new in the national dialogue in the last couple of years, but I had not heard Ralph Northam talk about it. Did I just miss that, or was that a surprise?
No, the governor has talked about this as an aspiring governor. He came out for decriminalization, and there seems to be sort of a growing consensus, albeit a slowly growing consensus, that something needs to be done about cannabis as a supposed criminal problem. Tommy Norman, the Republican majority leader in the state Senate, is in effect embracing some form of decriminalization. He would like to see the penalties substantially reduced. There's talk about imposing a civil penalty as opposed to a criminal fine for possession of pot. There are some legislators, principally Democrats, who are all in on all for full-on decriminalization.
Right. What do you make of this, Governor? I mean, some of the proposals he's had out there, the Medicaid expansion from last year, the gun proposal, the voter ID, the plan to rescind the voter ID law. I mean, I get the impression if this were Terry McAuliffe from Northern Virginia, a lot of people would be just tearing him up. But because it's Ralph Northam, he's kind of got a nice personality. He's from the Eastern Shore, went to VMI. He doesn't seem threatening. That he gets to push the envelope a little more than maybe Terry McAuliffe would.
Well, you know, I think, if you will, manners maketh the man. That Ralph Northam is sort of, if you will, the from here in a state, by the way, that is dominated by come-heres. That he isn't interested in office beyond the governorship, or at least so he says, though he joked about running for president last night of the Eastern Shore Antique Car Club. So I think that as a question of style, he is certainly much more approachable, much more of an accommodationist, and I don't use that in a demeaning way. He's a doctor. He's all about finding solutions to often vexing problems.
And that makes him more of a challenge for Republicans to deal with, I think.
Oh, no, I think so. He's maybe not as easily pigeonholed as some other politicians, Democrat and Republican, are. However, you know, because this is a changing state and our politics have become increasingly national at the state and local level, there are a lot of positions that Ralph Northam has to take to accommodate his partisan constituency, and that creates problems, and that results in tension, and Republicans have to respond similarly to their base, and so we end up with gridlock, and that is reinforced by partisan gerrymandering, another issue the governor did not discuss last night.
Well, we'll talk to you again. We got a month and a half to go. Jeff Shapiro, politics columnist for the Richmond Times-Dispatch, down at the Capitol every day for the next 45 days. Thanks, Jeff.
Thanks, John. Have a great day.